Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Edit audio.
Hello, everyone. I'm Robin Hopkins, and this is Well Adjusting, where I talk to people about life stuff, but not in an NPR way. It's more like we're at the bar, having cocktails, getting into your business sort of way.
It's giving drunk NPR.
Oh, and producer Steph is here, too.
Hello.
Today we chat, well, processing the breakup of a family. Hey, everybody. Look at us. We are back for another Well Adjusting. Today, Tanae joins us. She's an actress, she's a mom, and she is in the middle of trying to find love, continue to be an excellent parent, and to figure out how to set herself up for her new life after a divorce. So her and her ex, they'd been together since their teen years, so this is quite a journey. Enough from me. Let's get right to it.
Hi, I am Tanae. Although my experience in my personal life feels unique, I think a lot of people have been here before where they're married at 19 and then that marriage lasts almost 13 years and you got married in the church and then suddenly you're in a divorce and now what? And how do you fall in love again? And how do you do that outside of what was such a big part of your identity piece, which was evangelical Christianity, and also you're gay now and all of these things, and well, gay now, but you were gay all along and now you're actively being able to participate in that part of yourself. So, I mean, the list just goes on and on, Robin. I have so many things.
I'm like, Steph, we're going to need a longer podcast. So you got a lot going on right now. Like a lot.
Yeah.
So let's talk. So married 19, evangelical Christian background, you know, can you touch base a little on that and how fresh the divorce is or separation?
Yeah. Well, to be fair, the divorce isn't even finalized. We're still in the separation process. It's been since March of last year that I officially moved out.
Okay.
But I guess when I put myself in 19-year-old Tanae's shoes, it definitely felt aligned to like what I was supposed to be doing. And it felt like I was in love. Mm-hmm. And it felt like at any rate, I would choose this person to marry.
Sure.
Whether or not that felt pressured by outside forces, i.e. Jesus Christ himself. It would behoove me not like to say that I definitely got married because I wanted, or a big part of it was because I wanted to be able to bone and not feel bad about it. Ugh. Like I wanted to be able to have sex and not feel like my soul was being crushed with shame every time.
Oh my, isn't that so awful that that level of shame comes along with the religion? It's just, I find it so, like, it's abusive.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, yeah. We both were so attracted to each other and it felt wrong to be so attracted to each other. We were also teenagers.
Sure.
Like some ravenous hormones. Yeah.
You wanted to do it. Everybody gets that, right? Who didn't?
Totally. Yeah. Yeah.
Ugh. So did it fall apart because of the queerness or did it fall apart because of all of the things? Or
I think for most couples, at the start of the pandemic, everybody was like reevaluating everything. Mm-hmm. And that's really when I started embracing who I was in a new way. I mean, we had left the church years ago. We have a child together. And right after my child was born, I was like, this doesn't work for me.
Yeah.
God, whatever. Yeah. And so once lockdown happened, I sort of started really just doing personal work because suddenly we had the time to look inside ourselves. Yeah. I just started getting really curious about parts of my sexuality that like I had participated in when I was a kid. Mm-hmm. And knew that I tucked it away deep down somewhere. My first kiss was with a girl. I would fall in love with every one of my best friends and yeah. not understand what, like, I would get jealous of them yes, dating boys. Yes. And I'm just, you know, so.
Why do you have to hang out with him all the time?
I know. I'm so much better. But so I started getting curious about that part of me again and talking to my partner about it. And then.
I think good on you for like bringing it up and not burying it further.
Yeah, no. One thing that I will like commend about us and our relationship is that we talked about everything.
Yeah.
One of the things that came up was like, well, can I like date girls like inside of this marriage, you know? And he didn't love the idea.
Sure.
And then I was like, well, what if you can date people also? And then he was like, I couldn't. And then we did this like religious trauma boot camp with this therapist. And we did it with like a group of people over the course of like 5 months. And it was really intense and brutal. And once we were out of that, he was like, okay, maybe we can try. Because up until that point, we had only really been with each other.
Sure.
And so we didn't want to break up. We didn't want to leave each other. We were in love. We've always been in love. So then we started trying to date other people. But the way that things were falling, it just didn't feel good. Like I felt like something inside my body was like, this doesn't feel safe. This dynamic, you just want to be with your partner. That's all. And so we closed the marriage. And then a year goes on. And I go and I shoot this TV show called Dave. And when I came home, my former partner was, I could just tell that something was happening. And finally, one day I felt like I was bubbled up with curiosity enough for me to be like, can you just tell me like what's going on? Because yeah. something's clearly happening with you. And this is the first time you've not been communicative with me. And he just sort of admitted that he feels like he's polyamorous as an identity piece.
Wow.
And that it is who he is. And that if he couldn't participate in that part of himself, he felt like it would stifle him his whole life.
Yeah.
And so then I tried to make it work again. And I'm sorry, I'm getting emotional, but it just didn't work. And I felt like I really gave it the good old college try again, yeah. you know, and yeah. it just didn't work. And so I couldn't ask him to put something that he felt was such a big part of who he was away.
Yeah.
Just to be with me. And that felt shitty to accept. Like that felt like this is not what they want completely when they choose me. And I would rather feel completely chosen than halfway or not all the way, you know?
Yeah.
And so I left. It was just getting too hard to manage. I just felt so dysregulated all the time to try and make it work. And it was devastating.
Yeah.
You know, I knew him since I was 17 years old. And
when you grew up together.
He's already moved on and mm-hmm. and participating in that part of himself. And it's really hard not to feel angry about it, you know, on the days that I'm not feeling like my best self.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
I dealt with a lot of like anger that I wasted my time, that I wasted, you know, 12 years of my life with someone who ultimately wouldn't choose me. Just like my dad didn't, you know, like when you like really think about it and like when you meditate on it in the ways that don't serve you well, you start creating these narratives like and started feeling like I couldn't trust my choices. But I felt like I owed it to myself to try and put myself out there.
Mm-hmm.
But it's been awful.
Yeah. All right. We're taking a deep breath because that's a lot. And, you know, and it's like we talk a lot on this podcast about that we never want to, you know, just watch people's pain because it's like trauma porn and like, it's just gross. And so that's why I'm like, let's just take a fucking deep breath and sit in this for a second because it's a lot. You've been through a lot. But like I'm having just like a couple of thoughts because it's like the first thing is you went from this like really like hard part of your story that I'm assuming you're still like in and working around and you mentioned you have a kid. So there's got to be custody schedules and new normals for everyone and trying to find your forever home or your next home. And then right to like, I put myself out there because I feel like I'm supposed to. Yeah. And like that statement sounds to me like, not anything like I'm doing because I'm just really pumped to be doing it.
Yeah.
You know, so I want you to say a little more about the between those two things.
Yeah, I definitely like yearn the end. and
thanks for coming. This was a great show.
Yeah. Yeah, it's both. It's sort of that like saying like both things can be true.
Mm-hmm.
I know that deep inside of myself, I am like this romantic, sapphic little turd, you know, of a person who like craves to be loved and craves to love. And so I think that's sort of why I'm so disappointed by the dating experiences I've had thus far, because I am so willing and open to so many connections and things. And I'd like to think that I'm a pretty self-aware person and I actively participate in my own life and how I can show up and how I can be healthy and all of those things.
Yeah.
And then also it's, you know, add I'm a mom into the conversation of dating. And it is like, people cannot compute that. And add, I'm only available these days of the week because I'm not interested in introducing you to my child until I know you're my person.
Excellent, by the way.
You know, excellent. Thank you. Thank you so much.
I applaud that parenting choice.
Thank you. I'll be petty and say my ex did not feel the same way.
Mm.
And that sucks.
Yeah.
There's an instability in my personal life because I'm in between places and, you know, 13 years and you start out in the church, you share everything with your partner. You don't think about financial independence. You share it all.
Yeah.
And so leaving that marriage, I didn't have anything and I still don't.
Yeah.
He supported me in the down times of me being an actor and I didn't have to get a full-time job. When I did win gigs, when I did win the auditions, it floated us forever.
Yeah.
Being broke sucks.
Sure does.
I grew up really poor. So like, it's just scary. That part of it feels really scary. But then finding love doesn't. It's just the people I'm meeting are not awful. That's a stretch. But
they're just not right.
Yeah. It's just, and it's hard not to internalize it and be like, is it me? Is it because you're a mom? Why'd you have a kid with somebody? You know, it's just, it's
weird.
Well,
you have so much going on.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, it's like you have just laid out, like if I had a castle and there was a maze in the back, like that kind of maze of problems. Like there's grief here. There's, you know, financial fears, you know, trying to figure out new parenting and parenting. Now you're no longer on the same page. Now there's two voices. One kid, where it seemed like you two were very communicative and there was like you moved things forward as a unit. There's so much in here. And then in the midst of all of this instability, you are like, let's find love. I think that there's like a lot of things that we can talk about that'll be like, well, you know, what about this or what about that for like looking to meet somebody? And I think we should get there, but I just feel like there's this whole piece that we're jumping over that's like getting you on firmer ground.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm curious, like, what you're doing, you know, for you to process all of that change and, you know, tumultuous feelings and more change. And
yeah, yeah.
What are you doing for you?
Oh, wow. That's a good question. What I try to do with myself is spend a lot of time connecting with the people who love me and spend a lot of time connecting with the people who love my kid. Mm. I don't have like bio family to lean on. And so friends are it.
Yep.
For him and I. His name is Lewin, my child. So, you know, Lou and I spend a lot of time when I do have him with the people that we love. And on my own, that's what that looks like for me too. And also therapy. Me and my therapist have a great relationship.
Shout out to therapy.
Therapist Megan.
We love you, Megan.
Yeah. I am a firm believer of feeling your feelings. And there are days where I just lay on the floor and let it come and cry. And then there are days where I go to the movies by myself to escape, or I cook a food that I love.
Yeah.
It's because I'm in this new phase of home instability. I moved in back in the house that I left my husband from. So okay. Like I'm in my old house now whenever I have my kid on my custody days.
So you each go to the house and leave?
So he goes to his girlfriend's house.
During those days. Okay.
Yes.
And he's there on the other days. Got it.
Yes.
So your kid gets the stability of that house.
Exactly. Yeah. Yes. And I can't stop thinking about, I haven't stayed there yet. Tonight is my first night staying there.
Mm.
And I can't stop thinking about eating from the forks that I used to eat from.
Wow.
And like slurping on spoons, you know, that I used to eat soup out of. And that is a very like visceral
yeah.
image that keeps popping up because eating is so communal to me.
Mm-hmm.
And it was what we did a lot of the times, you know, as a family together.
Yeah.
And so now as a single parent, there's like a vacancy there, you know, that I have to sort of cope with.
Yeah.
In a new way that I haven't, because you know, before this moment, I either had my own apartment
mm-hmm.
that I couldn't afford, or like I was staying at a friend's house and using their silverware.
I want you to have some travel silverware.
Yeah,
that's first and foremost. I want you to have your own set that comes with you when you move into that house.
That's
on those
a
days.
Great idea. So I'm wondering what sort of new grief moments will pop up being in the old new place.
The first and most important thing is that I hope you're just going gently. Because yeah. this is going to be a hard night.
Yeah. And Lewin and I are sharing the room because I can't muster.
Sure.
Sleeping in the old bed. Like that's something I'm like, I can't do that. You guys bone in that bed now.
So is this a short term solution? Are you all working towards something more longer term? You're just getting there now.
It's mostly from a financial perspective.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Hey friends, I wanted to tell you about a podcast that I think you are gonna like. Okay, Bill Burke is the host of the weekly podcast Blue Sky, where he interviews individuals tackling the world's most significant challenges with hope and optimism. Sounds right up your alley, right? Exactly what we thought. All right, it's brought to you by the Optimism Institute, which was also founded by Bill.
to sprinkle a bit of positivity on your view of the future, especially with the media often showing us just the gloomier side of things. On Blue Sky, you're going to hear optimism about topics on everything from climate change and AI to homelessness and immigration and more, and they're offering diverse perspectives. You're going to finish each episode feeling brighter about the world and optimistic about our collective future. The name Blue Sky, well, it's inspired by a meditation prompt symbolizing the idea that beyond the clouds, there's always blue sky, encouraging a broader perspective. The Blue Sky podcast is available for listening on all major podcast platforms, inviting everyone to look beyond the clouds and embrace a more hopeful view of the future. I'll tell you what, I'll be listening.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I feel like what's so interesting is, like you said, like, and now there's a vacancy there, and you were talking about something so like seemingly small, like cutlery or eating with people. And I feel like normally when there's like moments of grief or like any breakup where you have like consistency, there's always those moments where you're like, oh, this doesn't feel like the consistent anymore. And so you try to like fill it, right? Like there is a vacancy. And so you want to fill it to like, I don't know, feel full up or be a bit distracted or whatever it is. And then slowly you can like sort of sit in it on your own and feel it fully. But what I feel sucks for you is you're getting like forced back into the place where you have to like sit in that vacancy, you know?
Yeah.
And I just feel for you because that's really hard. Like normally that's a decision that you like get to over time from having all these moments where you're able to like distract yourself and like make your friends come over all the time or whatever it is to like fill those vacant moments. And now you're like, oh God, I have to like go back to this place and really just like sit in it. And then also take care of this other human that I'm responsible for who's also sitting in it. And so I just want to take a moment to acknowledge that's really hard. And I'm sorry that you have to do that. But also, like, what if this was your dream world and, you know, you didn't have to get forced into this moment of like steeping in the vacant feeling? What are you doing that makes you feel happy in moments where you're alone with yourself? Does that make sense? Because I always feel like whenever I'm in a breakup, I'm like distracting myself with all of the things. Like I'm like going on dates and like sleeping with random people and like going out all the time and going to cafes and like working too much and seeing my friends and like whatever. And some of that is like really good and necessary. But eventually the slowness comes in where I have to like calm down and like
I have to feel it.
Be with myself. So like, are you able to have those moments, or are you doing anything where you're like, I mean, do you literally get any alone time?
In the car is the like sort of place. It's like the sacred place in which it all comes crashing.
Yeah.
And sometimes when I know that I need to feel it, like sometimes when I can feel in myself that I'm not allowing the pain to affect me, you know, in a way that's not good for me, I'll like put a song on that I know will hurt my feelings.
Yeah.
And that's sort of the impetus and the catalyst to like get me to a spot where I'm processing, you know, the grief.
There's this bad thing that happens when you divorce and you have, I mean, there's many bad things that happen, but one in particular, when you have a kid, like you are forever in that person's life.
Yeah. At the beginning, oh my God, I kept saying, I wish I could turn the page on this person. I wish I could eternal sunshine him. And
But you can't. I mean, he's going to be at your kid's wedding. If that happens, he's going to be at, you know, the high school, the college graduations. But on the flip side, there's an interesting thing in shared custody that happens where you have days to yourself. It might allow you to like step your feet in and then take care of yourself. So tonight you got to go do a really shitty hard thing. You got to go to that house and that's going to suck and be hard. And then you're probably going to be crying in the car in a day or two.
Yeah.
However, then you're back and you have some space. And so I wonder if there's some way to like gate your days when you don't have your son so that it can help you get through those other harder days. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I mean,
but you might just be in like survival mode right now.
Yeah. That's literally what I was going to say. You know, on the days that I don't have Lou, I'm working.
Yeah.
And I'm having to hustle and, you know, I'm working a restaurant gig or I have an audition that I need to focus on or whatever that looks like.
But can you build in small moments like a meditation practice and build in moments to like whether it's at the top of your day or throughout your day to be like, okay, I have to work and I'm going to be hustling at this restaurant, but there's a couple of cool people there that I can talk to about grown-up things and I don't have to be watching an animated movie about a buffalo.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I definitely have those moments. I have a journaling practice, so I journal a lot. I mean, I definitely, like I said, like I lean on my friends a lot when I'm not when I'm not with the Lou.
I mean, there's a part of this that's just like, I feel really horrible saying this. It's just like, you're just fucking in it right now.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And like you're going to have to find that internal strength that is just beyond what you knew you could hold.
Yeah.
Like grief, you're in the tsunami of it right now and the waves will become less and hopefully further apart. And it's like, I love though that you're putting so many things in place, like building your community and journaling and crying in the car. And the thing that I see is that you are so self-aware and you're so like, I know what I need right now. And you're doing that stuff. And I do think sometimes it's just fucking time.
I know.
Because this is grief on so many levels.
I think what is still surprising about it all, I even was talking about this with him like a couple days ago with my ex, like, even though we're about a year out, like it still doesn't feel real. It feels like sometimes I'm just like, no, this is just temporary. He'll change his mind. and, you know, that's not obviously like a realistic sort of perspective, but the sort of part of me that like wants to regress about it all, romanticizes some ideal version of like finding each other again or, you know, whatever.
I do wonder because like you came here technically to talk about looking for love or trying to date or whatever.
Yeah.
But I don't think I ever asked you like, what are you looking for? Let's just say like there's a dream scenario out there. Like, what does that look like for you?
I would just like a boyfriend, girlfriend, they friend that like things grow as they come and it can feel still so connective and fun without the like sort of pressure that, you know, it has to be everything, all or nothing, like right now.
Really, just companionship.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure everybody and their mother's like, are you on the apps and all of that? But
yeah.
But I also wonder just like, since you're so like open about shows and family and stuff, are there, you know, and you're a performer and you're creative, are there activities and things like that that you can do where you might meet companionable type people where there's not that pressure? Because it's like, I don't know how you can put pressure on finding someone when you are still actively grieving, even though it's getting better. It's like there's still a part and you're still parenting and, you know, so it's like, if you have a pressure cooker, just like release the valve a little bit.
Totally. Yeah. I was dating a guy for like almost 4 months recently and was really into it, into him, was really excited about him. And felt like things were happening at the rate in which healthy relationships kind of unfold into each other. And then when I started having the conversations of like, hey, I'm not asking you to like marry me, but like you want to be my boyfriend? It just blew up and then I lost it.
Yeah.
So like I think where I have a hard time, maybe I'm not, and this is, I'm trying to be I'm already like judging what I'm saying, but I'm wondering if there is an element here where that I can own up to where I'm maybe not using the correct vocabulary or like communicating in the ways that I think I am and asking for things that like sound like forever, but aren't to me. The message isn't coming across. And so then it's received as like, you know, this turd is asking for it all, you know? But then I'm like sort of in a retaliating way. I'm like, no, like you weren't ever asking for too much. And I think that's where I get insecure.
Yeah.
It's like even asking for just, hey, you want to like date each other and be like boyfriend, girlfriend?
Yeah.
Isn't a too big of an ask.
No, it is not.
But it feels like when it's received that it's too big of an ask.
Well, you're still on the heels of like a large scale rejection.
Yeah, for sure.
So
and, you know, my job too is constantly rejecting me.
So. Yeah. Hi. So it's like 24/7 auditions. Like I'm going to be doing one after this that I won't get.
Yeah, literally, I have to tape an audition at 2 today.
Exactly. I get to be a Christian woman who's mean and talking about whores. What do you get to do?
Today, I get to be a lesbian getting attacked by a carved pumpkin.
Oh, see, now that
comes
fun.
To life and is possessed.
Amazing. You're on the heels of a big rejection. So anything like that is going to feel, it's just going to be like, and there's the fire again.
Right.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I normally find bras to be so uncomfortable and constricting, but Skims has changed that. You know I love Skims underwear, so I finally tried their bras, and Skims has delivered again. Skims bras are worth the hype for the amazing shape and support they give, but what I wasn't expecting was how comfortable they are too. I've tried so many bras in the past, and the main issue that I have is that they weren't supportive enough, to the point where they felt slouchy. I love my Skims wireless form bra because it's so comfortable and supportive. The older I get, the more I care about actually being comfortable in what I wear every day. And with my wireless form bra, I no longer have to sacrifice my comfort for the support I need. Shop Skims bras at skims.com, now available in 62 sizes, 30A to 46H. Plus, get free shipping on all orders over $75. If you haven't yet, be sure to let them know we sent you. After you place your order, select podcast in the survey and select our show in the drop-down menu that follows.
The thing that's like sticking out is like you said that sometimes you're hard on yourself because you feel like angry that you wasted 13 years of your life on someone. But when we first started this conversation, the note I wrote down was like how much someone like me has to learn from someone like you.
Aww.
Because you have been in a relationship for 13 years. Like, I haven't done fuck all for 13. I haven't even lived in the same city for 13 years. Like, literally do not have a single thing that I've done for 13 years.
Have worked on yourself for 13 years, Steph. That's true. Don't sell yourself short.
But you know what? Like, with that, like, you have so much, like, relationship experience and so much partnership experience and so much general experience in a lot of ways that I think especially queer people do not have. And I'm sure you're navigating like the queerness of relationship now, but like there are so many experiences that like I do not have that you have and I won't have for another 10, 15 years maybe. And I think that that's so beautiful. I think that's a really cool part of you. Like being in relationships is so hard and you had like a really beautiful one for 13 years. But I also was thinking, I don't know like what the right word is for this, but like I would be almost intimidated to date you because of that. Like, you have had all this experience and I would feel like I didn't. So I don't know if that's ever playing in. But yeah. I also think with that, like, okay, you have had this 13 years of experience, like what you're used to, the level of relationship that you're used to and the level of
intimacy and communication
and like shit that you've probably been through in a relationship together is so beyond what I've ever experienced that like you at 4 months is probably you being like, this is hilarious. And like this sweet little thing, you know, where like maybe me at 4 months, I'm like, this is the biggest thing I've ever done. You know, I'm like, oh my God, I've kept this going for 4 months. So I think, I don't know how to like say that, but I'm like,
you're like, look at me.
Literally the perspective shift of being like, this is like baby food or something for me. When it could be like something massive to someone else, I think is healthy. And just remembering like how cool you are and how much you've been through and how much you have to like celebrate and how much you bring to the table once you do find someone who also is coming to the table in the same way.
Oh, wow. That's very kind. I've never thought about myself that way in regards to looking through it through like the post-divorce lens, you know, of like who I am and how I've come out of something and who I arrive as now.
I think you're in general in need of a very massive overhaul reframe of like how you look at this. A lot of times where you've talked about the vacancy and the hole and the vacuum versus what's in there right now.
Yeah, I think my core belief is that I'm disposable. You know, and so like that is sort of in regards to my grief specifically the first filter I have to throw away.
Yes. You know? Yes.
But it's really hard.
Well, if we could all easily throw away our core beliefs, we'd be fucking running the world.
Oh my God, totally. I'm so grateful to feel so expansive about a lot of things because I know that I have a big heart. I'm sort of like a limitless well of like empathy and love and all of those things. Like, and also, it gets hard to, like, be learning lessons all the time.
Ugh, I know. You know?
It's like, I think I'm just really tired.
Mm-hmm.
And it would feel nice to, like, be romantically, like, hopeful in someone and not feel so scared about it.
Yeah.
What's the, like, opposite of I'm disposable? Like, what's the inverse to you?
Oh. Like, my mantra?
Mm-hmm.
The first thing that came to my mind is like chosen. Like I'm
chosen.
Yeah.
I think that inverse tool will be really helpful for you for all of it.
Yeah.
When you catch yourself starting to go down one of those paths, being like, what's the opposite of this? Like, what in what do I want to live into? Because then I think it might breed action.
Mm-hmm. I'm just going to say, like, you are also like just going through it right now. So, whatever you could do, like, high fives to you. You're great.
Yeah. Thanks, Steph.
Yeah, I think that's it. Like when you're in it, like you're in it and just be kind. It's a lot. And it's like, I'm really thankful that you shared it with us.
Oh, thanks for holding space and giving me little love tokens and joy pockets. And I'm really appreciative that y'all were willing to hear my story.
Oh my God, I want to put a love token in a joy pocket.
In a joy pocket.
Adorable. Do you want to do, because this was a hard conversation and you both have auditions after this, do you want to do my therapy breathing that I've done since I was a kid? And I'll walk you through this. Okay, so first we're going to start with box breathing. So we're going to breathe in through our nose for 4 seconds. Hold for 4 seconds. Out through your mouth for 4 seconds. Now we're going to try to do that for 5. In through the nose, 2, 3, 4, 5. Hold for 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Out for 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And once more for 6 seconds. 5, 6,
Hold. 4, 3, 2, 1. Out for 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Now you should be comfortable in your chair and try to keep breathing in through your stomach and out through your mouth. And as you do that, picture a blue orb around the base of your feet, in between your toes, surrounding the top of your foot, around your ankles, almost like a aura light. And the blue light is surrounding your feet. And as it gets up towards your ankles and your calves, it becomes baby blue and starts fading into white. And you can feel it around the back of your calves, around the top of your shins, circling around your knees, moving up across the top of your thighs. Your muscles may be sore in the back of your thighs. And there's a whitish blue light surrounding all of the bottom half of your body. The light becomes bright white as it goes around your stomach, turns into like a light pink, and it goes in through your belly button to the back of your spine, across the back of you to the top of your neck, around your chest, filled with a pink light that's expanding around you. We move to your fingers. The light is white. In around your pinky, all around your thumb, your wrists, your palms, up your forearms, around your elbows, up your biceps, around your shoulders, meeting the pink light across your back and into your neck. And as we go up your neck, into your throat, through your mouth, through your nose, your eyelids, your eyebrows, the top of your head, the back of your head, your forehead, your ears, your earlobes. The white light expands beyond your head. And the room you're in is filling with the light from inside your body and around you. And I want you to breathe for the next 10 seconds in through your nose and out through your mouth, and picture the light surrounding you to expand and fill the entire room. And as you're seeing the light expand, try to repeat to yourself, I am safe, my heart is expansive, the people in my life chose me. I'm safe, my heart is expansive, the people in my life chose me. When you're ready, you can come back.
Ooh, so now that we are all calm and collected from Steph's soothing voice, oh, I needed that. I think it's a good time to point out that when we're smack dab in the middle of whether it be heartbreak or transition or loss, and we're trying to find our way as to what's next for us, it can be so uncomfortable with all the feelings and all the loose ends. But for me, this chat was such a great reminder of the fact that when we're in the middle of something that's so seismic, we have to take care of ourselves. And I say, what a win it would be if we could all learn how to be kind to ourselves as we process the shit that's happening in our lives. I know that that's what I'm taking away from this conversation. I can't fix it all. Sometimes I've just got to go through it, and I got to trust that I'm going to come out on the other side. But while we're all in that place and we're waiting, we can create community. We can talk and we can feel the feelings. I don't always love it, but we can. So I am just so thankful to Tanae for coming on the show, like right smack dab in the middle of heartbreak to talk to us. And I'm thankful for the reminder to all of us that life's hard sometimes and we just have to work through it.
And I do also have to say that I'm very thankful to producer Steph for just like jumping in and taking us through that box breathing exercise. It's something that just might help us all in these types of moments. And if you want to follow Tanae and all her work, you can check her out on IMDb. It's linked in our show notes. For more Robin, and you may need that, you probably don't need it, but like if you do, you can follow me at Real Rob Hops on all the platforms, all the socials, as the kids today say. Well Adjusting is an Edit Audio original series. It's exec produced by Steph Colburn and Robin Hopkins. Our producer and editor is Maria Passingham, and our production manager is Kathleen Speckert. Thank you to the entire Edit Audio team and to you for listening. Oh, hey, before you take out those AirPods, this show is just for entertainment. If you are in need of help, please reach out to a professional. Go ahead and get that help. You deserve it.